Good morning, good afternoon. Welcome to It Is Time. I am Mark Seebach, your host. Thank you for joining me this morning or this afternoon, wherever you may be. I usually start my program off with a little prayer, and I hope you'll join me. Thank you, creation, for the gift of this day. In honor of this gift, I will live every moment as the present that it is. Thank you. Well, how's everybody doing today? I'm a little bit sicky. I have a little cold, but here I am, ready to talk to you, and hope you will join me today. I'd like to talk about forgiveness today. It's a big subject, but it's also something that's necessary for us as human beings to understand ourselves and understand others around us and help us to live the life that we all want to live. One of my first questions for anyone who's listening is, do you have forgiveness in you? Do you forgive yourself? Number one, because that's the one that you need to forgive the most. And have you forgiven others? And I'm not talking about forgetting things. I'm not talking about saying, well, this happened to me and it was caused by this person, so that person is okay. It just means that you've learned a lesson from something and it was imparted to you by someone else and you've said, I forgive you for whatever I felt was against me and detrimental to me, and I thank you for the gift of the knowledge that I gained from it. I don't know how else to explain how to forgive. I know that my personal hardest thing was forgiving myself. Because we're taught that we're sinners and we're taught that, it's hard to not be a sinner. And so we accept that we're sinners and we sin. What is sin? Those are lessons. Yeah, we are. We're students. That's what we are. We're students of all the aspects of a being that would learn how to be a better being, a more whole being, and that's why we're here. It's the lessons we learn. And I know that the Ascended Master Jesus taught forgiveness as one of the bases of becoming a child of God, in that you must forgive those who have transgressed against you. Love thy enemy. Not that you don't understand that your enemy may have a perception that you need to be destroyed. But if you forgive them this perception, because that's what it is, a mindset, a perception, then it comes back to you that you release any fear or hate that you might have for your enemy and might stand in their shoes and say, what have I done to cause this? What can I do to mitigate it so that rather than enemies, we are the brothers or sisters that we truly are? My wife gave me this subject. She had read some articles that said that there are at least one study has been done where people that forgive live a healthy, happier life. But of course, because you're not holding on to the negative energies that come with holding on to the grudge, holding on to the thought, holding on to the perception of done to me by someone else. If you've listened before to my show, you know that I am of the understanding that we create our reality. So we put the emphasis on our experiences and our perceptions, and we create our own feelings. Yes, people may do something against us that we perceive is against us, and if it is intentional, then shame on those who do this to them. But not a judgment. Just if you do something to someone with less than love intent, then obviously this is not what you are supposed to do. And that's why I say shame, because everyone knows when they do something like that. The pleasure that people derive from doing things to people is not a, uplifting good feeling. It's more of a base. Very lowest animal base that I am dominant over this person, or I am controlling this person. Look how I make them feel. And you don't make people feel anything. You can. It's well within your bounds. But in doing that, what you're doing is convincing them to feel that way. It's not you putting a feeling on someone. It's actually them taking your expectations and taking them as your own. But in any event, forgiveness, yes. The real thing is to forgive yourself, because we are our judge. The judgment of a higher being is within us. But we're much, much more apt to put ourselves down and say we did wrong. And, and many times it's things that we do by accident. It's an accidental thing. And we take on the responsibility for that and hold it within ourselves. And we need to release that, take responsibility, but correct it as best you can if you're able. And if you're not, so be it. But let it go. Let it go. That's one of the keys, because when you forgive yourself, it opens you to forgive others, because the others were yourself to begin with. It's kind of confusing, but it's our very essence to be the best we can be. And our harshest judges are ourselves, in that we know when we're lazy. We know when we don't make the effort. We know all these different things that no one else would know. And we hold that and say, I am not worthy because I was lazy. I did things without thinking. And it was such a terrible mistake. But if we learn that it was a mistake, if we learn that we were lazy, and if we learn that and accept that responsibility and say, well, then from this point forward, this lesson is learned. I shall not do this. And if I do, I'll learn that lesson again. You need to release it. where you really need to release, especially coming up on this time of the year when the Christmas spirit comes into us. And much of our depression and such around the holidays is thinking how I'm not good because I can't buy all these gifts I want for all these people. Or maybe I'm not worthy. I'm not getting any gifts from people. That's not what it's about. It was never about the giving of gifts. It's expressing your love for those within your realm of existence, of who you contact and are connected to on more than just a bypasser mode, where you actually know how people feel and what affects them and what they like and what they dislike. And it's a beautiful time of the year. I myself have a problem because my father many, many years ago passed away the day after Christmas. So that memory arises. But I've come to learn that I celebrate his life, not the date of his transition, but his life and all the loving things we did together, and not even the loving things when he corrected me because I was straying from a path he saw to be correct. But I have the understanding of why he was doing it. It wasn't anything to harm me, but to help me to become the person I am today. And I thank him so much for all that he taught me while we had a time together on the path. And I wish I could have gotten him to know him better as a person, because he's my dad. He's my father. And we didn't communicate as, say, my daughter and myself communicate. But that was a lesson learned. And so now, because I learned that lesson and not having as much communication as I wanted, I've learned that I want my children to have that communication. There's nothing I won't discuss with them, because I want them to know me, and I want to know them. And I want them to know me so that they know when I offer my advice, where it's coming from, what I've gone through to be able to offer that advice. And in any event, what do you all think about it? Have you forgiven yourself? Have you forgiven others? Has it come around to bite you in the butt? Because that can happen too. Because just because we learn a lesson doesn't mean that someone we forgive has learned a lesson. Many times it might be perceived as a weakness to forgive. But it's not a weakness, it's a strength. It's a strength because it strengthens you as a person to be able to forgive. Those who aren't able to forgive hold on to whatever it is they can't forgive, and it eats us up inside. No matter who it is detrimental to our well-being. So, that's why it's so important. What do y'all think? Give me a call. Let me know. Let's discuss this together. The numbers are toll-free in the U.S., 1-877-876-5227. In the U.S. and Canada, it's 1-888-815-9756. And as always, the direct line is 1-530-876-3222. So give me a call. I'd love to talk to someone. I want to talk to you Yeah, you. Dial the phone. come on and give me a call and let's talk about this. I mean, it's a subject that is very deep, but it's not, how much can you talk about it? I mean, as far as one person. I've said what I've said about it, and it pretty much covers it. Other than it is something that heals. Forgiveness heals. And it heals emotional scars. It heals spiritual scars. And it makes physical scars not so out there. It's not something that would, you know, if you see a physical scar of something that happened that you needed to forgive, it's a reminder of that. But if you don't forgive, it's a reminder of the pain and the sorrow and the betrayal or whatever that would be need of forgiveness. While as if you forgive, then it's a reminder of the joy of forgiveness and letting go, that this is just a mark. This is just a notch. And it's just a step on my path to becoming that which is the best I can be. And, of course, we should always strive to be the best that we can be, but heck, we're human beings. We get lazy. Yeah, I don't feel like being a good guy today. I'll just say whatever comes to my head, and sometimes that causes pain for someone. But it's, you know, you can apologize afterwards and say, this is where I was. That's why this came out. I apologize, and I ask your forgiveness. And but anyway, give me a call, and let me know what you're thinking, what you're feeling. I hope everybody up on the Oregon coast and Washington coast are okay. Had quite a wind come through there with a storm. I myself don't remember anything below a hurricane other than a tornado with such high winds. I've had the understanding that this is not something that's going to be rare. We need to look at that too. Storms are going to get stronger. So help yourselves by being prepared. Don't expect help. You need to understand that your survival is dependent upon you and your decisions that you make. So, I know that has nothing to do with forgiveness, but it came in right then. let's see what else is going on. The drum beats for war are still going strong, and even though they're shown to be exaggerations, it still goes on. I'm throwing a little forgiveness out right now for those that would have us engage militarily with another country at a time when we're bogged down in two other places. And well, I love everybody, and even those that would push for this thing because I feel that they believe that this is the right way and the right thing to do. But I can't agree with that. And I don't know what else to put out on that other than have thoughts of peace in your heart along with forgiveness. The hostage crisis was a long time ago. That's how Nightline got started. It's with the Ron Hunt hostage crisis. But there were reasons for that to come about, whether there are good or bad reasons. There were reasons and perceptions on the part of Iranian students that they had every right to have those things. Now, whether not taking hostages was such a good idea, because it didn't help their position, but in any event, I would urge those who are listening to let it be known that it's not a good idea for us to get into something else while we're so full of what we've got going now. Let me see. What else? Oh. Forgiveness. Oh. You realize how great it would be if we just said, from this moment on is the beginning, and what's gone in the past is in the past, and that we've learned all we've needed to learn up to this point, and we'll and go on from here, and just forgive those things. And if everyone else had forgiven other things, how great everything would be. There would be no divisions. Okay. That's what it comes down to. Because normally what we hold on to are things that divide us from others. And whatever the need for the forgiveness is the divider. And in most cases, it's not talked about. It's just, I'm not going there anymore. I don't want to hear it. This is the way it is. It's the way I feel. I'll never change. Then that's true. Then that's the way you feel, and you'll never change. Yeah. Okay. That's a free will choice. But whether that does you any good or not, you need to step back and look at that. Say, do I feel this because it's necessary, or do I feel this because I don't want to forget? Normally you won't forget. And you just move on and use your mind to put yourself in other places, but use your heart to decide whether those other places are where you're supposed to be, and what you're feeling and what you need to feel, and for your best interests. In any event, what else is going on? I'm sorry, I'm at a loss right now. I don't script what I'm going to do, and normally it comes through very nicely, and things come along, and I can go right with it, but today I'm kind of having a block, and I apologize to you for that. If you're listening, it can be very boring. Let me see. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. That's one thing I know. And maybe you can have a better understanding of where I'm coming from. I grew up in New Jersey, in a small town not far from New York City. But it was still kind of countrified. It was the suburbs, but there was a lot of woods. There was a lot of farms and things. And I grew up as a latchkey kid. Both my parents worked. So I spent a lot of my time on my own, but not on my own. I did have friends and the people I met, starting from an early age, were people who helped me to grow. There's one person in particular I'd like to give honor to, and all I know is his name was Albert. And he was a black man, approximately mid-40s when I was about 8 years old. And by the time I was 8 years old, I knew a lake, and it was in a park. But I knew all the good fishing places, and depending on what type of fish you wanted, where you would go for those. And Albert was a fellow who lived in Newark, which was probably 15 miles, maybe, from where I lived. And he'd come by bus to catch fish to feed his family. So we met one time while we were fishing, and we talked. And one of the things about Albert was he wasn't condescending to me. We pretty much spoke on an even keel. And we had many discussions about different things, nothing that my parents would have gotten upset about or would have had to worry about. But he was someone that I termed a friend. And just a little more background is I am Caucasian, German-Irish background. And my parents were of the mindset of Germans and Irish in the 50s and the 60s, which was not very nice about black folks. And you know what they normally called them. I don't have to say it, you know. But it was all perception based on prejudice rather than on actual interaction, because they would not interact with folks of color. All their friends were Caucasian. And those were the only friends they thought, because that's what they grew up with. That's what they knew. While I, on the other hand, would ask questions that were uncomfortable for them, and I was dismissed. So you can see maybe why I might have gone outside the home to speak with people. But what I found was Albert was a human being. That's what he was. He was a human being. It didn't matter the color of his skin. Other than the experience he would have experienced due to the fact that there was segregation in his lifetime and there was rampant prejudice during his lifetime. But he forgave enough to understand that this little white boy meant him no disrespect, that this little white boy just saw him as a human being. And my honor to you, Albert, wherever you may be wandering on your path. And thank you so much for what you helped me to understand at such a young age. And and another fella from back then was the park policeman, because in that county, the parks department had their own police force, because the county did include Newark, New Jersey, which is a urban area with many parks. And but in any event, his name was Mr. Bridges, and he was kind of like the guy that looked out for me when I didn't know he was looking out for me, because I was a young age. And but that was part of the community back in the day. It was, you didn't keep your kids locked up because you were in fear, but you let people know in the community, you know, my son goes down to the park a lot. If you see him down there, just kind of keep an eye on him so he doesn't hurt himself or get hurt. And so anyway, Mr. Bridges was also a very nice man, and he knew Albert. He'd come and talk to both of us while we were fishing. And that was another person who, even though he was also of the mind of my parents, he saw that there was no threat from Albert. And that I was fine. And so I thank him. One of the things, he caught me playing hooky from school, which was a strange thing in to begin with, because I actually played hooky from school when I was in the first grade. So now we're going back to, what, six or seven? I don't know how old I was in the first grade. But it was almost like the great escape for me. I still remember it. That's one of the things I have that many people don't. I have almost a photographic memory going back nearly to birth. yeah, I jumped into a well around a tree so nobody would see me that I wasn't walking to school. And then I went to see my to my friend's apartments and borrowed his bicycle, because he had one of those cool banana seats, and it was the newest thing. And so I took his bike and went down to the park and was riding around, and Mr. Bridges came up and said, "Mark, when'd you get the bike?" And I said, "Oh, I'm just borrowing it. It's my friend's." He said, "Well, how come you're not in school today?" I said, "Oh, there's no school today." And he just looked at me with his Irish blue eyes and said, "Well, let's go check on that." And I was busted. And I was taken back, took the bicycle back, and then I was taken back to school. And they didn't know what to do, to tell you the truth, because I was so young. They'd never had anyone do this. They told me how dangerous it was, of course. They told me the danger of being out there and how I needed to get the education. And this is, I was safe at school, and my parents thought I was at school, and that's where I needed to be when I was supposed to be there. And I said, okay, and I didn't play hooky from school anymore, at least not in elementary school. But, you know, it was part of my learning experience. And it was a wonderful time, because although there was pollution and I was in a fairly urban area, there was still so much natural, huge oak trees, 40 feet tall, 50 feet tall. And all those are gone now. They've all been cut down due to disease. The lake had been shut down because of contamination from botulism and pollution, all these things. And I know my kids never had that experience, to be able to be one with nature and to be without fear, other than with their family, or with a grown-up in present. It's a shame. It really is. I would like my grandchildren to have more of a natural world to live in, and their children, and their children. I think I'll go plant a tree. But in any event, and so that's part of where I came up from. I went through all the social things of different groups and different cliques and different interests. At one time I was, I'm trying to think of what the different labels they put on people. I wore a leather jacket for a while, so I was a hood. And I liked leather jacket. It looked nice. Then I'd grow my hair long, and then I was a freak. They called them freaks back then. But I wasn't a freak. I wasn't a hippie. I just didn't want to get my hair cut, and it was a style. And just on and on throughout life, you're given different labels when all it does is, it's a lazy thing, is my understanding. Labels are a lazy thing to slot people in, so you say, okay, well, that person is this, and I don't associate with people of that label, so that's a non, I don't have to worry about that person, and I'll just worry about these people that have labels that I associate myself with, rather than get to know each person individually, which is so time consuming and, you know, just almost work, that most of us would prefer just to put a label on someone and say, oh, well, I don't have to worry about the person, or, oh, that person's part of my group, so I can get to know them, or I can associate with them. But it's a dividing thing, and I would urge everyone to start looking at that and saying, well, no, I don't want to put labels on people. I will join a labeled group, I guess. When I do speak, and so eloquently, so heartfelt, because it is me, it's my higher self, my higher spirit. Some people call it a guide, spiritual guide or whatever, and I'm not a channeler. I don't like that at all as a label, because you were all conduits for our higher selves and our lower selves, but so it, a channeler, everybody's a channeler. But in any event, my higher guide, my higher spirit's name is Joshua. My understanding is, yep, it's that Joshua. yes, it was the Joshua who led the Israelites into the Promised Land when Moses couldn't go. And God didn't stop Moses. Moses stopped Moses. Just so you know. Because, well, that's what we do. That's why we need to forgive ourselves. It's one of the biggest reasons. You have to forgive yourself. You're already forgiven by that which is the higher source. Your children. We're all children. In the spiritual form, to the higher source, that we come from source, source is us, we are source, all that good stuff. The intellect and the mind have a way of degrading you, yourself. Tell you what you can't do, what's possible and what isn't possible, how bad you are. Because you had this thought, you did this deed with this thought behind it. Well, as I said earlier, learn your lesson, move on. Am I telling you to do this? No, it's stuff you already know. It really is. It's what you know in your heart to be truth. So, you know, many would call it teaching, but it's not teaching, it's reminding. It's letting you know you're okay. You've always been okay. You always will be okay. All right? That's the way it is. Okay? And like I said, unless you are in the mindset of total selfish domination, manipulation, and then you won't be happy. You'll feel like you're happy, and you'll tell yourself all these things that you've gained because you are the strong, non-compromising, everything for you, no one else existed type person. And it's very hollow. It's very empty. And many times it's many, many people who have plenty of material wealth and aren't happy, and they use drugs and trying to fill that emptiness. And the emptiness is, get back into yourself, know yourself, forgive yourself, so that you might forgive others, but mostly to forgive yourself so that you're okay, that you know you're okay. Anybody out there want to give me a call? I want to talk to you, whatever you want to talk about, actually. I throw these things out just for, well, maybe somebody want to talk about it, but, you know, call me. If you want to hear what I have to say on something, fine, but I really want to hear what you have to say on things, because I already know most of the time what I know about things. So please give me a call. In the U.S., it's 1-877-876-5227. In the U.S. and Canada, it's 1-888-815-9756. And the direct line is 1-530-876-3222. If there's anybody out there, just give me a call and let me know you're listening. And you hear what I'm saying and you agree with me, or you vehemently disagree with me, or any of those things would be great. So please give me a call. I know it's early in some places and it's mid-afternoon in others. Hey, well, you know, here we are. Give me a ring. Let's see, where was I? I'm not sure. So let me go with this. This is something that I came up with. I might have spoken about it last week. I'm not sure. But most everyone knows the Bible story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And the eating of the fruit from the tree of knowledge, which made Adam and Eve see their nakedness and cover themselves up against the admonitions of God that they should not partake of that fruit and all that stuff. And it is the story that kind of threw us all off of our understanding and our connectedness to God. Because if you look at it, let's see, there's God, and he created everything. Okay, so he did create the garden. He created Adam and Eve. Now, he gave them the gift of free will, so they had choice in what they came to know as their truth. But he also created the serpent. And he created the tree, and he created the fruit. Now, Adam and Eve made a free will choice to partake of the fruit. And of course, God had given them a warning. And what the actual warning was is, if you eat of this fruit and find out there's good and evil, you will surely die with this knowledge, because you will separate yourself from me, which being God, because you'll put a separation that doesn't exist, but by your free will, you've accepted. So what we need to get back to is, there is no separation. That is the truth. Never was a separation. That choice that was made is the ultimate lesson. And we've been trying to learn that lesson from the beginning of our existence. Is there is no separation between that which we call God and us. Because that which we call God is everything, including ourselves. There is no separation. Earlier in another show, I had said, it's so funny that people go somewhere else to find God or go on the road to find themselves. Because wherever you go, there you are. It's very simple, but it's true. No matter where you go, that is where you are. And you haven't run off on the road across the United States or across Europe or all these things. I mean, those experiences and journeys give many lessons, but they sure won't help you find yourself. That journey is an inner journey. And it's cutting away the clutter, and one of the first clutters that you need to clear away is all the veils you've put between yourself and the Lord, or God, or creation, or Allah, or the big kahuna, whatever. All those veils, and that's all they are, is veils. They're not steel doors. They're veils that you've put up because you said you're not worthy. And it's all those things that you hold and don't forgive yourself for. This is why it's so important to forgive yourself first. Because when you do that, not only do you find yourself, you find that God is within you. God is the spark of your spirit. It is your essence, so to speak, of your spiritual being. Because we're all pinpoints of light, of the big light. Light doesn't change from one thing to another. It's this energy that illuminates, whatever. I don't know where I'm going with that other than we're all pinpricks of light, which makes us light. Whether we're a pinprick or not, we're light, which is part of the greater light, which is God, which is Source. And this is the thing, is to forgive yourself for the perceived and real. Accept responsibility for those things. Don't forget, learn your lesson, and move on. And moving on, once again, does not mean forgetting. It means take from it that which is useful. Leave behind that which is detrimental to your continuing journey. That is the most succinct I can get, I think, is take from every experience that which will benefit and further you on the path. Discard and leave on the path so that you still have that memory of it, that which would hinder your progress along your path. Because that's the baggage we carry. When you say someone's got carrying, he's got a lot of baggage, that's the baggage you carry. And one of the main things for your journey on this path is you don't need no bags. You don't need no ticket. You just get on. You keep going. You just keep trucking. You get on board. All these things. But you don't need a baggage. Leave the baggage behind. Because what the baggage can do is weigh you down And then you may end up being a spirit tied to a location upon this earth rather than being the free spirit that you are to go on the path and possibly come back again, ascend, all these different things. But if you hold on to all that baggage, it'll hold you. It will hold you to a place or an idea or in a cage of your own making. Well, I want to thank anyone who's listened today for being here with me. If you hear this later, know that I'm here with you now too. Let's all forgive ourselves so that we may forgive those that have come against us, so that we may know and love them as the brothers and sisters that they are, and that they may know and love us as the brother or sister that we are. And so we can have joy and love and light and dark, because there is no separation. Can't know it's light unless you know the dark. And you can't know the dark unless you know the light. Be who you really are. Always. Don't put on a face. Don't put on a mask. Don't take on a costume. Be who you are always. Know that you're loved. I love you. I may not matter to you. God loves you. Anything that you call God loves you. And it might say tisk, tisk, tisk and shake his head if you do something wrong. But learn from that. Doesn't mean he's going to spank you. It just means you're harming yourself when you do these things. You may harm others, but you're harming yourself. So to get out of that pattern, forgive yourself so that you don't think, well, I have to do this because I'm a sinner. No. Stop it. Stop that. That's what I'm telling you to, because you know you need to. All right. I'm going to take off. You guys have a wonderful week. I send my love out to all of you. I take whatever love you may give in return. But it's not necessary. Just know you're loved. Know God loves you. And you will always be loved. You guys have a wonderful week. Don't get stressed out over the holidays. Do what you can. Love this holiday season. That's the gift. That's the gift. The word. Say, I love you and mean it. Okay? That's a gift. That keeps on giving. You guys have a wonderful week. I'll see you on the radio next week. God bless and namaste. Bye-bye.